Do you seek the freedom to pursue greater meaning and purpose in your life? Is there something that you're passionate about that you'd like to support by giving time, talent, or money? Do you seek a level of financial freedom to live an ideal life as you uniquely define it? Welcome to the Money and Meaning Show with Jeff Bernier, a show dedicated to helping you gain the confidence and freedom to lead a life of personal significance and help you get your actions and resources in alignment with what matters most.
Welcome to the Money and Meaning Show with Jeff Bernier. My name is Mike Bernard, and I am your host. Like Jeff, I am also a certified financial planner professional. This show is all about helping you discover what matters most and helping you get your actions and resources in alignment with your goals. We combine excellence in wealth management with the pursuit of meaning and purpose in your life. Jeff Bernier is the founder, president, and chief investment officer of Tandem Growth Financial Advisors, a wealth management firm in Alpharetta, Georgia, a suburb in the greater Atlanta area. Hello, Jeff. I hope you and your team are well.
Yeah, we're doing fine, Mike. Just continuing to row the boat and, keep things moving. And, as always, just focus on trying to help our clients get their actions and resources in alignment with their goals and to live a great life.
So we said we were not going to talk about football, but row the boat is a local sort of football saying here near Western Michigan. But we're not going to talk about football.
Is that a Minnesota? Is that a Minnesota thing?
Now it's switched over to Minnesota. That's right. So yeah, it's PJ Fleck, I believe. Great coach there. Okay, so we said we weren't going to talk about it, but that's sort of the backdrop for 2020 has been a crazy, crazy year. And I know we've had lots of conversations with clients around investments. We even did a show about all the stuff going on in the investment world a couple months ago. But really, the Money and Meaning Show is about really combining holistic wealth management with a deeper discussion around money and meaning. So what's on tap today?
Yeah. So, it's easy for us to gravitate around investments and it's easy for me to gravitate around helping these half-timers create the freedom to go pursue their purpose. But in terms of wealth management, we do have to do the blocking and tackling. We've got to cover the broader areas. And I know when I started advising clients back in the Stone Age, I remember learning the financial planning pyramid. Do you remember the financial planning pyramid?
Oh, yeah.
And the bottom part of the pyramid was risk management.
Yeah.
So you had property and casualty insurance that you needed to evaluate, and you had liability insurance that you had to evaluate, and you had a loss of, premature death that you had to prepare for. You had loss of income you had to prepare for. And then you had the middle part of the pyramid was about liquidity and emergency reserves. And then the top part of the pyramid were the things that you got to move into, which was about investments and how to build portfolios to meet client goals. And sometimes it's easy to forget about the bottom of that pyramid. And today we're going to focus on one part of the bottom of that pyramid, which is income protection, which is disability income protection. It is just so important that we don't forget that. And I think this is really relevant for the wealth building client, the client that's not yet in the retirement phase, because their income is often the source of their future net worth, which creates the luxury to have these deeper discussions. And I say all the time that we need to protect against things that can go wrong, so we have the luxury for investing in things that can go right. So our guest today is an expert in income protection. So Tyler Smith is an expert in disability income solutions and evaluation. And so Tyler, began working in this area many, many years ago and has really developed an expertise in these, how to solve these needs. He works closely with clients, providing robust yet uncomplicated plans that they can implement. But not only that, he monitors their plans and helps them adjust as markets change. Tyler's been recognized by industry associations as one of the top 40 under 40 financial advisors through 2015. He's got his own firm called the Smith Organization. Prior to that, he was with Northwestern Mutual and developed an expertise in the disability income area. He was born and raised here in Atlanta, graduated from the University of Georgia, so he's a dog. Actually moved to Athens, lives in Athens, where he's with his wife raising two kids. Like you, Mike, he's active in Little League Baseball. He's a baseball coach and active in his church over in Athens. So welcome, Tyler Smith, to the Money and Meaning Show.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, just really, really happy to have you. And one of the themes of our firm, but also a theme of the show, is collaboration. You know, collaboration. And I think of cooperation as working together. Collaboration is building something together. And so when we work with our clients in holistic wealth management plans, we're building a plan. And it's impossible for anybody to be an expert in everything. And so it's really important for guys like Mike and I, who are more holistic wealth managers, to have experts on the table. So, Tyler, you and I met through another insurance professional who deals with sort of a different sector of the area. But kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and your family and, you know, how you got involved in specializing in income protection.
Yeah, certainly. So, real quick, on a personally, my family, we live up here in Athens, Georgia, which is similar to Mike's, where Mike is, and college town. We can walk to football games, walk to baseball games, and it's been a great move for us. But one of the reasons I was able to move up here is because of my specific specialty and keeping things really simple and having kind of a narrow focus. You know, I started with a major insurance company. You mentioned Northwestern Mutual back in 2001. I was in my training during September 11th. That was, you know, how I remember exactly when I started. And Northwestern, I was there until fall of 2018. And while at Northwestern Mutual, or especially early on, and this gets to what you just asked, kind of how did I wind up where I am now? Early on in my career, I started when I was 23, 24 years old. Early on in my career, I was struggling a great deal on trying to, you know, create clients and business and those types of things, and I guess be relevant to my clients. And one thing that was happening is most of the people I was meeting with were between, say, 24 to, you know, mid 30s at the highest, and it wasn't. And a lot of those cases, there wasn't a lot of revenue that they had, and not a lot that they could actually do. And when I was 20, gosh, one or two years into the business, one of the veteran reps, who was very, very successful in the disability income arena of all things, stopped me in the hallway and said, "Hey, you know, how are you doing?" I said, "You know, I'm really struggling. You know, I'm having a tough time making ends meet and doing this business." And he said, "Hey, are you talking about disability income with your clients?" I said, "You know, not really." He said, "Try this. Everybody you talk to them about income protection, talk to them about disability income." And something clicked. And it got to the point right around that time period, 25, 26, 27 years old, where I would make phone calls and that would be my lead in. I'd say, "Hey, look, I want to come by and talk to you about disability income insurance." My general agent at the time was a wonderful, wonderful person. He always would make comments, and one of those was, "People buy differences," right? And that was a very, very different approach. Nobody was calling people and asking about disability insurance. Nobody was talking about it. So
yeah,
I started to have a little bit of success selling disability income, and became one of the specialists in that office. And
gotcha.
And ultimately, fast forward to 2018, it got to the point to where I was so focused on that specific area that I wanted to be 100% client-centric and not just tied to one particular insurance company. And so that's kind of where I went out on my own to be completely, you know, have all the different carriers,
right,
that I could work with, as opposed to just being tied to one specific
gotcha.
Carrier.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I wound up where I am today.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And, you know, in the world that Mike and I are in doing comprehensive financial plans, I mean, we evaluate where there are gaps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your side of the business is basically going out and casting a wide net for and determining if they have a gap and fixing that gap in a very narrow area that you can go and provide a very unique, special solution. But I do remember early in my career looking at statistically how many people have a loss of income. And it was shocking to me. If you look at a 35 or 40 year old executive, the odds of them being out of work for 90 days or longer at some point in their career was really, really shocking to me. Do you remember those statistics, or do you know those kind of statistics?
You know, really, that's and it is shocking that the statistics are pretty unbelievable. It's really about, if you're a 30-year-old professional, there's about a 1 in 4 chance that between age 30 and 65, you're going to have some sort of a disability. And the biggest misconception is when people think of a disability, they think of, you know, the body cast, you know, something like that. But most claims are, you know, depression, anxiety, some sort of an illness, anything that would keep you from doing your job. And a lot of times it's a partial claim, right? It might be a situation where you're dealing with some sort of an illness for, you know, 10 months and you're still working on some level. You just can't do it at the same capacity, and your income goes down, and that can really affect everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So it's about if you took 4 30-year-olds, there's a pretty darn good chance that one of them is going to have a disability between age 30 and 65. The other statistic that's really pretty unbelievable is this is from 4, 5, 6 years ago. I'm sure these numbers could possibly be even more now. But I think 48% of all mortgage defaults are because of a disability.
Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times you'll have, especially in today's world, so many dual income families. And a lot of times those dual income families will say, hey, look, if I'm out of work, my spouse works. The problem is what we see is a lot of times if one of the income earners has a disability, the healthy person is having to stay home and take care of that. So it becomes a really
complex. Yeah.
Yeah. Very complex. So,
yeah. Well, and
yeah.
Yeah. And your comment about the mortgage default really brings me up to my next question, because what I have found is that oftentimes people don't get really serious about saving for retirement until they get a little bit older. So they don't really save as much as they should in their 30s and maybe even their early 40s. So they look at the you know, from 45 to 60 is the time to really save a lot of money to retire. So what happens is if they have a loss of income because of a disability, I mean, just, you know, 1 year of being out of work can wipe out about 10 years worth of savings. Yeah. So I look at risk management as a way, again, to protect the retirement plan as well as provide income to pay the bills. Because, again, if you're out of work, even for a short period of time, it can wipe out your, you know, your entire plan. I think most people assume that they're covered by their employers for this type of coverage. Is that not the case?
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, when I'm in the marketplace, you know, there's two for what I do, the medical market and the non-medical market, right? The medical market prospects and clients, they all understand the value and importance of this, have an individual, robust, portable, occupation-specific disability income insurance. So for the medical market prospects and clients, they understand how important it is.
So when you talk about the medical market, you have a specific niche with physicians.
Yeah.
So is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. So I break it down into two different areas, because orthopedic surgeon, anesthesiologist, OBGYN, neurologist, they all know how important protecting their income is, because they're so specialized. If they hurt their hand in a boating accident or something like that, you know, they understand that. And so even if they do have a group plan, my physician, 95% of my physician clients understand that, hey, I need to get something individual. Now, my non-medical clients, a lot of times they are, to go back to your question about, hey, I have a group plan, I'm good. The reality is when they peel the onion on the group plan, it's there's some deficiencies in most cases. You know, number one, it's not portable. Group plans aren't going to be portable most of the time. Number two, it's not going to have an inflation rider. Number three, a lot of time, it's only going to be own occupation for 2 years. That means if you're disabled after 2 years, it's not going to pay you if you can do any job in the national economy. It won't cover injuries if you became hurt at work. And lastly, it's because it's a group plan, it's not non-cancelable. You know, and what that simply means is they can take it away from you, right? Group plans are fine. There's a lot of reasons to not only rely on the group plan. And one thing I totally forgot to mention, in most cases, it's only going to cover base income. There's going to be a cap, right? So a lot of times, let's just take a lot of group plans I see in the marketplace are going to be 60% of income with a cap of, say, $10,000 a month. So if your income is over $200,000, that's the higher incomes are discriminated
against. Won't have as much, right.
And then most of these plans are going to be taxable too. So most of the time, just back of the napkin type conversations, your group plan is going to cover about half of what you're used to making. So if your paycheck every 2 weeks is $10,000, the group plan is going to wind up paying you about $5,000 a month.
Yeah. So pretty significant discount. So can an individual can purchase supplemental on top of their group, or are they kind of out of luck?
Yes. So the insurance companies, you can certainly get supplemental disability coverage on top of group plans. And I do those all of the time. When I first started really focusing on disability income, there was a few law firms in downtown Atlanta that I would literally go door to door. They all had group plans, but I would supplement their group plans.
Right.
And my question simply was, hey, what's your after-tax take home every 2 weeks? And they'd tell me, and I said, cut that in half. Could you live on that? And they said, no, I can't. So that would be the conversation. It was as simple as that, just layering on. Even if it was just $1,000 of monthly supplement on top of that, that $1,000 could be the difference in paying your bills and not paying the bills.
Right. And that personal policy would be tax-free since they were paying the premium.
Tax-free, portable. And a lot of times you put a rider on there that lets them buy more when their income goes up. It's interesting. Back in 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7, when I was doing that, a lot of those lawyers were making $75,000 a year. Now they're making $750 million and up. So those same folks still have that original policy, but they've tacked on top of that to make sure they keep up with their income increases.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about personal policy. So the benefits of a personal policy over a group policy, what are the major provisions of a personal policy that makes it better than a group policy?
Yeah. So first and foremost, you own it. You can take it with you. If you change job, change occupation, those types of things. Number one. Number two, individual policies, most of which are going to be what's called non-cancelable and guaranteed renewable. And what that simply means is the insurance company can never come back and change the deal on you, right? They can never come back and say, hey, look, we're having a really horrible experience with anesthesiologists, so we're going to adjust the rates there or take away this contract language. And the guaranteed renewable simply means as long as you're paying premiums, they can never take the policy away from you. So that's really, really, really important. I bring that up because long-term care, a lot of people kind of put in a similar boat as disability income. You know, all these long-term care companies, they don't have non-cancelable policies. They're all guaranteed renewable without that non-cancelable language. And what's happened, all of these insurance companies, every single one of them has gone back and raised rates, sometimes 5, 6, 7 different rate changes, right? So to back up the non-cancelable, that simply means the insurance company can never change the deal on you. It doesn't mean you can't cancel it as the client. The client can cancel it, but the insurance company can never change the deal on you. That's number one. Number two. Number one being that you own it, you can take it with you, it's portable. Number three, you can put riders on there. I think the most important rider on any disability policy is the residual partial rider. I think that's crucial. I've seen a lot of policies out there in the marketplace where it's total only. And most claims are going to be partial, right? Most claims are going to be partial where you're still able to do something. You just might not be able to do it as often, or you lose a duty. Maybe you have, you know, a back issue, and as opposed to being able to do 5 procedures a day as a surgeon, you can only do 2.
Right? So if you don't have that residual rider, you have to have a total loss of income to collect. If you have that rider and you have a partial loss of income, you get a partial benefit.
Yes. Yes. From 1,000 feet, that's exactly right. So if it's a total only contract, you have to be unable to do the material. Well, just depending on the contract, but most of the companies that you'll see in the marketplace, the total claim would be if you can't do the material of substantial duties with an S, duties of your occupation, right? So you have to be unable to do all of your job. And if you can't do all of your job, you're considered total. But if the insurance company says, you know what, we think you can do this part of your job, and that made up 30% of your income last year, that's a partial claim, right?
Gotcha.
So residual partial benefits are crucial. Inflation protection is important. You know, back when I was in college, you could get a, you know, bean and cheese taco at Taco Bell for 30 cents. Now it's $1.10. I haven't had a bean and cheese taco at Taco Bell in many, many years. But my point is, inflation is real, and we all know it's going up. We have to pay for,
right.
You know, it's going up. So
right.
That 3% inflation rider is crucial. Sometimes it's insurance companies will let you go up to 6, right? 3 to 6, different types of, but just having an inflation rider is important. And lastly, future increase options, the ability to add more down the road without having to do medical underwriting, and other riders like catastrophic riders are beneficial as well. That just simply means it'll pay you additional benefits if you have a disability that's deemed as catastrophic.
So since it's non-cancelable, guaranteed, renewable, and you have to be medically qualified, purchasing it young is generally a smart thing.
Certainly. It's kind of like going, I tell people this all the time. You know, like life insurance will give you higher premiums if cholesterol, blood pressure, family history, those types of things. Disability income policies do that. But traditionally, when they rate you, they start excluding stuff like a back and neck and knee or something like that. So what I tell my clients is, hey, how is your health? Have you been to the doctor in the last several years? Have you had any surgeries? And if they're like, no, I'm good. I say, look, this is kind of like going to get a business loan. Most businesses think about going to get a business loan when business is bad. You know, it's not the time the banks want to give you a loan. Similar to disability income, the best time to get this is when you're young and healthy. You know, best time to secure it, lock it in.
Right.
I've had so many, especially in the medical world, because I get so many medical residents as clients. The policies that medical residents buy, they lock in a lower benefit now with the ability to add more down the road when they come out of training. I've had so many of them develop medical issues post residency, but it doesn't matter. They can add more coverage without having to deal with a back exclusion or a knee exclusion or something like that. And let me finish on that real quick. You know, about 50% of these disability policies are going to have some kind of exclusion. And so when somebody does end up getting an exclusion, it's not the end of the world. It happens. Most policies are going to have an exclusion.
Right.
But you'd rather have fewer exclusions than several.
Well, and again, you know, when you're talking about this, purchasing it early and it's a long-term promise, how do you determine the quality of the carrier? I mean, obviously the insurance company that you do business with has got to be around to meet this long-term promise. How do you go about evaluating if the carrier is going to be around to meet the obligation that may be many years down the road?
That's such a good question. You know, it's interesting. You know, I've been doing this close to 20 years, and it would be similar to going into the real estate world back in 2009 when it kind of went.
Right.
So the disability marketplace had a really big shakeup in the late 90s.
Okay.
So early 90s, there were probably 3 or 4 dozen carriers that were all heavy in the marketplace, right? Now there's really only 5 or 6 carriers that you see. And all 5 or 6, I'd say of those 6 that I traditionally work with, four I'm really comfortable with. They've been doing it for 30 plus years. The companies themselves have all been around for 100 plus years. So I really feel comfortable. And financial strength ratings, Standard & Poor's, Moody's, Fitch, AM Best, they rate these insurance companies on financial strength, et cetera. And so we talk a lot about financial strength. And one thing I always tell my especially my younger clients, so let's just say I'm talking to a 30-year-old orthopedic surgery resident. I say, look, this is important. Whatever policy you buy now, you're going to be married to it for 30, maybe 40 years. Right. And that does put it in perspective. Like, yeah. Wow, it's a long time. And think about just what's happened in the last 10 years, just with the world and the economy and, you know,
quality matters. Yeah.
Quality matters. So I stick with typically it's around four carriers. I do 95% of my cases with that I'm very comfortable with. I'm very comfortable with their home offices and how they handle claims. And
yeah. So it's not always about the least expensive product.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. Very cool. Well, last thing I just was thinking about as you were talking about underwriting and so as independent wealth advisors like Mike and I work with clients and we uncover a need, how difficult is it to walk a new prospective client through the needs analysis and get estimates on what the cost will be and then ultimately get them underwritten? Are we talking about a 3-month process, a 30-day process, and you know, people are busy and it's not, no one wants to sit around and talk about their health history to a stranger. So how does that work?
That's a really good question. Disability income is a little bit of a different animal in underwriting than life insurance. And it's one of the reasons why there's not many people out there selling it. I very rarely run into somebody that's talked about income protection. So you said 3 months or 30 days. It could be any of the, it could be, you know, either one of those. Now, sometimes it can be a week and a half. So it's interesting. So when I engage a client and there's a disability income need, I will shop the market and put together some quotes so we can look at all different shapes and sizes. Cause it's very similar. You know, you can go out and buy a Honda Accord, which is a great car, or you can go out and get a, you know, an Audi, or you can get a Bentley, right? They're all going to get you from point A to point B, but one of them is going to have a lot more bells and whistles. So we'll go through all the different scenarios on that, right? In all the different companies that I think make sense for attorney, accountant, surgeon, whatever field they might be in. But one thing that I do before we even get to pen to paper on applications, et cetera, is I want to know, hey, just tell me generally, how's your health? Any surgeries, you know, any medications,
right?
Any anxiety history, depression history, which, you know, in today's world, most 25 to 40 year olds have had some sort of a history in that, but that's not a huge deal anymore. It can be,
right.
But I want to make sure I get all that information so there's no surprises, right? And right now, the application process is all electronic. All the companies I work with is all electronic. And because of COVID-19, most of these companies are allowing folks to secure coverage without having to do labs. Now, there's certainly medical underwriting, but there's no medical exam.
Right.
Right. Now, they can require them, and they can come back and require and say, look, we want to,
once they get the data,
put this person on a scale or whatever, or do blood and urine. But most of my clients since March, say 90% of them have been able to go through underwriting without having to do lab. This is really cool. You know, people don't want to be poked and prodded and have a nurse in their house and do all that right now.
Well, that's true, Tyler, but I also don't want to be insured by a company that's not screening their applicants in a reasonable way or they're not going to survive. So I want to do enough due diligence to make sure they're taking calculated appropriate risk. Yeah.
They'll do a pharmacy scan. And if you've been to the doctor in the last couple of years, they're going to want to see those medical records.
Right.
But that's what they're doing. And, so once you get an application in, it can be a pretty quick process unless you've been to the doctor in the last 2 or 3 years. So they're going to want to see those medical records.
Gotcha. But it doesn't have to be a terribly long, drawn out process if you've got a professional kind of walking you through it and
totally
chasing things down for you. Well, this has been, well, this has been awesome. I know that we, when we look at the work that we do, we can get sort of in the weeds with the complexities. And I think at the end of the day, collaborating with other professionals that are, have the, you know, the base of knowledge, you know, as Mike and I talk about all the time about this show, I mean, it's all about helping the audience get their actions and resources in alignment with what matters most and creating margin. And clearly a loss of income due to disability would upset the ability to do those things. So Tyler, you have any final comments before we wrap up today?
You know, not really. I just think it goes back to what you said at the very, very beginning. The base of the financial plan is the ability to earn an income. You know, without an income, it's hard to save for retirement, pay for education costs, do the things you want to do, take your spouse out to dinner, the things you like to do, go to Georgia football games, might go into Notre Dame football game.
Right.
But it's just, I am a huge believer in income protection. I think it's the most important part of the cornerstone of the financial plan.
Gotcha.
And that's my focus. That's all I really want to talk about with clients and let you all do the other heavy lifting on the financial planning. And anybody earning an income needs to protect it until Jeff or Mike say to the client, hey, look, you could quit working today. You're good to go.
Right.
And they can stop.
That's right.
Cancel their disability income.
Well, very cool. This has been very helpful. Thanks for the primer on disability income. So if our audience wants to find you, what is the best way to find Tyler Smith?
Tyler@smithorg.com. Tyler@smithorg.com. Or call myself, 404-723-0866.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Tyler. It's great having you on today.
Thank you all for having me. I enjoyed it.
Yep, all right. Great. Well, that I certainly found that helpful. And just the encouragement with so much noise. That's where we started. So much noise going on in 2020 to really focus on the foundation. So thanks, Tyler, for being here. There you have it. Another episode of the Money and Meaning Show with Jeff Bernier. Hope you found today's discussion helpful, just like I did. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, check out past episodes of the show or even Jeff's blog at www.tandemgrowth.com/perspectives. You can also find us on iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check us out there and give us a rating. We appreciate it. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Money and Meaning Show with Jeff Bernier, a show dedicated to help you gain the confidence and freedom to lead a life of personal significance and help you get your actions and resources in alignment with what matters most. We would love to hear from you. If you have any questions for Jeff or Mike or comments on the show, feel free to reach out to us at moneyandmeaning@tandemgrowth.com or you can find us on the web at www.tandemgrowth.com. Jeff Bernier is the President and Chief Investment Officer at Tandem Growth Financial Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. This show is a production of Tandem Growth Financial Advisors, LLC. All information discussed is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as specific financial, legal, or tax advice. Listeners should consult an attorney or tax professional regarding their specific legal or tax situation. Listeners should not rely on the content of this podcast as the basis for any investment decisions. A professional advisor should be consulted, and/or independent due diligence should be conducted before implementing anything discussed in this show. While information presented is believed to be factual and up-to-date, Tandem Growth Financial Advisors, LLC, does not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Tandem Growth Financial Advisors, LLC, does not make any representations or warranties as to the accuracy, timeliness, suitability, completeness, or relevance of any information prepared by any unaffiliated third party, such as guests on the podcast, and takes no responsibility for the same.